Welcome to another...
The official podcast of The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
You hear that, Ern? The Leaky Cauldron.
Just go! We're wasting time!
Welcome to Pottercast, your number one source for news, theories, discussion and interviews with people from the Potter books and films. I know a small amount myself, having written the books. My name is J.K. Rowling. I am now happy to introduce your hosts, Melissa, John and Sue.
Okay, it's that time again. Welcome to Pottercast 1-2, guys. Which one is it?
1-2-3-4.
It's Pottercast.
OMG.
I got all messed up because we had a live show last week, and it's been so long that...
We did.
Once again, I'm Melissa. I'm here with John, Sue, and Frack. And we have a wonderful show in store for you this week. All right, so what do we have in store for you this week? We have Phoenix Files, which will be talking about the battle scene in the Ministry.
Second to last one ever. Oh, my gosh.
Yep. Speaking of the Ministry, we have a discussion of the break-in into the Ministry in... Deathly Hallows. We'll be discussing the exciting prequel that we know nothing about of Harry Potter. So that'll be a really just chock full of information segment and lots of tomfoolery over in the drums. So, Sue, what's happening in the world of the Harry Potter?
There's been so much news. I know last week you were down in Florida. I really, really want to take a few minutes. I know this is sad news, but I would like to talk about this. This is a big thing happened. On May 23rd, a young man went out with his brother. They went to a nightclub, and there was a senseless act of violence took place, and this young man was stabbed to death. And this young man was named Robert Knox, and he was to play the part of the Ravenclaw student named Marcus Belby, and he will be appearing in Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
Wow.
This is, you know, just as Cedric was killed... Just unexpectedly and something at the, you know, and when he was a young man like this, so too was this young man taken from us. And it's very, it's been hard for a lot of the fans because even though we had not met this, you know, hadn't any knowledge, and this is just a minor part, a lot of fans were kind of shaken by just the senseless violence of it. And it's very tragic.
Yeah,
and obviously we all...
I was most disgusted with the newspapers that I walked by with the huge headline, Harry Potter star killed. Totally, you know, playing up on the, oh my gosh, everybody, when you read that, you think Dan Radcliffe. Or, you know, they're just, made me cringe at how it can take something tragic like that and twist it into, hey, look at my paper. But, that's just... Whatever.
I don't think any of the four of us are surprised at this point.
What's that?
I don't think any of the four of us are surprised at this point with the shenanigans.
Yeah.
So,
no.
Yeah.
It is. It's so disappointing.
I mean, not to say that he's not a star, but he hadn't been seen in this film yet. You know, and so to capitalize on his death that way is really just...
Do we have much knowledge on exactly what happened?
He was... Yeah, we do. I mean, it was, he was in his brother was actually in a bar, and a guy had come up to his brother, actually, and pulled a knife on him, and then a friend came over and said, oh, look, your brother's being harassed by this guy, and he went to aid his brother, and then the guy ended up stabbing Robert Knox 5 times.
Yeah. 5 times? Oh, my gosh. Do we know if it was his older or younger brother?
His brother was younger, and then...
Was his brother okay? Yeah.
I think he got injured, but I believe he's all right now.
Yeah, imagine that, brother.
Imagine. You know, it's just that we live in a world, you know, it's so hard because there's been so much tragedy, you know, I mean, in China and the cyclone and just all these terrible things. But then, yet here's another senseless act of violence taking another life. And it's just, like you said, it's just like capitalizing on being an actor. But here's just a young, you know, like we are in the fandom, like you were just in a comic, you know, in a comic convention. We embrace all the actors. It doesn't matter what the role, we embrace them all. And I think that...
Well, it was heartening to see the fans, the outpouring of emotion over somebody they'd never seen, but just knowing that he was part of the Harry Potter phenomenon, part of the Harry Potter world. And, you know, that's really
nice. Yeah, it was very nice.
Once again, the overwhelming goodness of the fandom speaks up, so that's great. All right, can we move on from this?
Yes, to happier news. We have some bigger happier news. We have two. Yes, we do. We have actually some kind of big news. And the fact that J.K. Rowling has written a actual new bit of Harry Potter material in two forms, actually. And one is for a prequel to the series. And there were note cards, yeah. Melissa.
I know. Don't remind me of note cards and options, okay?
Yeah.
Dredging up years of memory here.
Yes, it does.
Wait till you guys read it. It is so incredible.
Oh,
you are
going to
be so pleased. somewhere like 190, something like that.
Did you just make that up, or did you actually read the news?
No, I've read the card.
Uh-huh.
He read the news.
He read the news.
I know.
I was trying to catch him.
I thought you were going to get him.
Failed.
Frankly,
he confunded
me
with his wit.
I thought you had him there.
What? Yeah, I figured it was subtle enough just to...
I thought he was going
to
say...
I'm like, aha! You are wrong, my friend.
It's a prequel. We're going to talk more about this with all the knowledge we have of it, which is none, in a segment.
Right.
Stay tuned for
this before.
Segment in a Canon Conundrum later in the show.
Yes. But let's
how is it different than any other Canon Conundrum?
Okay. We should make sure, though that the this card is up for a charity auction. I just want to make sure that it is going to be part of a charity auction on June 10th. And that the contents of the card will be revealed online for everybody to see on June 11th.
Oh.
So we will know. You know, it's just nothing that she's going to keep hidden away like that other new card that the winner never shared with us.
Oh.
We saw the book. But
now, when does... my understanding, they're publishing
correct.
It as well,
right.
along with the other authors
yes.
who donated to this
that comes out in August,
when
and
is
it is available
published?
For pre-order. It's by £5 in the UK, so which is about $10 here in the U.S. And they Waterstones does ship internationally, so and you can we have a link on Leaky, so you can go order it and pre-order it right now, and it'll come to you in August.
See, I would imagine that they wouldn't put it online until, you know,
yeah.
that came out, just to help
but it's one
sell
thing.
That for the charity.
Yeah.
And I honestly wouldn't be offended, because as long as the proceeds to those sales go to charity, but
well,
I'm not complaining because we get a
reason. So they're probably thinking that people are just going to type it in on their live journals, their Facebooks, their MySpace. Like, what's the point? Just put it online, and people will be able to read it, and if they want to support the charity, they can.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and there's, you know, I mean, Neil Gaiman, and there's a whole lot. There's 12 other authors that contributed to anything. Plus,
right.
there's the contest Waterstones, as we talked about a few weeks ago, is having a contest that you can submit your own things, and you could be part of this book, too. So it's kind of a cool thing. It's also charity. Go for it. Do it.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Speaking of the other thing of Joe, Joe has also been, as we talked about, there's a new 10th anniversary of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. How about that? And new stuff. What do you think it is? Joe, it's...
You know, I asked this. I asked
you.
And they're like, sorry, can't tell you. I was like, well, I don't know why I even ask anymore. Like, what, you know, so all they will say is that there is new J.K. Rowling material in there. Material. I don't know.
What do you mean, new material?
Information?
Is it a sketch?
I heard that she wrote one chapter additional to the book from Hagrid's point of view. during everything that was going on, yeah. Well, Dawlish was busy back in Sorcerer's Stone time, so he wasn't around really very much. But you know what I'm thinking, though? That this whole 10-year anniversary thing, I'm loving this, and I hope this happens for every book, because I tell you, I say right now, right here and now, on Pottercast 154, for the 10-year anniversary edition of Deathly Hallows, we need to have another midnight release party somewhere in the country. For this book.
Oh, that'd be fun.
A 10-year anniversary of that night, and some huge bookstore needs to stay open for a midnight release of that. And we can all dress up in costumes and be 10 years older and laugh at the old pictures.
I'm not aging anymore, John. I've stopped aging.
It'll be fun.
I've stopped aging.
Yeah, me too.
Oh my gosh, how old will I be?
I don't even want to think about it, but it'll be so much fun. And do you guys think that they'll actually release 10-year anniversaries of all the books, or just this one-time thing for Sorcerer's Stone?
I'm guessing that this is the only one that'll be such a production that maybe they'll just put out separate covers, more quietly for the others. You know, you can't do this seven times.
As the
I would be fine with doing it for a Sorcerer's Stone and then doing it again for Deathly Hallows.
Yeah, I agree.
That'd be cool.
At least so big. They should make different covers for all the 10th anniversary editions, but make a big deal out of just the first and the last.
Yeah, totally. I guess we have 10 years to convince them, 9 years to convince them to to publish a special copy of it so we can go crazy over it.
It's almost been a whole year since it came out. That's right.
Because about this time we were in New Orleans for Phoenix Rising, you know? And
And we were gearing up for our tour.
So I think that book is pre-order. It's available for pre-order, by the way, if you want to get that. And be sure to click in our galleries. We have the high-res photo of the new artwork from Mer Grand Prix of the new Harry. And I think it's really pretty cool. It is.
Yeah, it's pretty beautiful.
She had given an...
It's Harry against the...
FRAC-approved.
FRAC-approved.
She did it with time. You know, and you were talking about the covers. You know how, I mean, I was just thinking about a year ago. We were talking about, remember the conversation we had about when the cover art came out? It was just all this. And Mary Graham Prey said that she liked doing the covers because she deliberately chose the colors and the and that it show hints and shadows. The mood in the book is often set by the sound, a soft color, a shadow. And so she deliberately tried to do that with her covers and I was like, oh, lady, if you only knew.
Wow.
If you understood how much we all.
But it's so beautiful. Yes, it is. The cover is that beautiful moment in book one where Harry sees his family through the mirror of Erised. And it's just
awesome.
Yeah. It's one of
it's
the
Joe's favorite part of the book, too. Isn't it Joe's favorite scene of, like, any Harry Potter book that she's in?
Yeah.
Well, such a powerful scene. Imagine this orphan being able to see his, you know, his parents. It's,
yeah,
it's beautiful.
And it makes the whole epilogue so much more appropriate when you think about what his heart's desire was, and to you know be with family.
Yeah,
and there he is with his family.
Yep. All right. Well, that's one of the things that I can't stand when people. Well, I can't stand. I mean, I understand it if it's their right, but I so vehemently disagree when people don't like the epilogue. Because Harry goes where he was always, what he always wanted the most was a family and normalcy and, you know, being kind of boring and having kids and love and things that he didn't get to grow up with. And, like, that may be boring for adventure book readers.
Yeah, I would even argue that's
not
even boring.
That's what he wanted. That's why I just love it so much, you know?
Well, honestly, what do people expect when they complain about this? Do they want there to be a new evil out there already? When Joe said that she's not going to write any more books,
well,
would we really want to sit there and think there's
I think people
a
think
new evil?
That it's a little bit sappy and maybe a little trite and maybe a little bit like an easy end, like a oh, he got everything he wanted. But come on! The kid fought for 7 years of his life. Leave him alone. Let him get everything he wants. Let him get the girl and get some love and have it be sappy. This is the end. You know?
And it is.
I mean,
you know,
think about the end of the television shows you've seen. You know?
Yeah.
In the movie.
He's already probably shortened his life expectancy about 20 years from all that stress of the 7 years.
And,
so.
And not to mention, I mean, Dark Power, he's like in his 30s. He's got 120 years left of his life. He may yet see another Dark Power. You know, you have no, like, this is just where he is right then.
That's why Joe needs to write that book about Albus Severus. She said that's the name that most interests her. Do it, Joe. Come on. Sorry.
We're ready for it.
We had an official update from Miss Emma Watson on her website that filming is principal photography, at least, is done on Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. Woo! And I believe you guys might have talked a little bit about that last week somewhere. Where were you all? In Florida, right?
It was lovely.
That was
Florida.
Fun. That was awesome.
I got sunburned.
Did you?
It wasn't painful sunburn.
It was painful sunburn for a night. I was outside for 1 hour. This is not for now. We'll talk about this in the drums.
I wanted to ask you about what Natalia Tennis said.
Oh, man, she is funny. Okay, that girl has no filter. She just.
I'm a little jealous to get to meet her.
It's amazing. It's great. It's such a free, like, thank God, because sometimes it's hard to get, like, the real details when you do an interview because everybody's so kind of careful and dancing around it. And Natalia Tennis, she just goes. It's great. So basically, she told us that, yes, there is no Dumbledore's funeral in the sixth film. And also that the Remus Tonks relationship is a bit like it's off script, like it's hand holding and touching and, you know, like it's obvious they're together, but it's not really written into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just assumed.
I'm fine with that. That's a valid.
Which is, it's better than not having a minute at all, you know?
And it's something you can't do in a book. You have to write it in a book. So excellent. Yeah. You know, get something off the book and onto the visual, translate it well, and then the other stuff that you have to layout can take precedence, you know?
Some people were theorizing that instead of the Floor wedding in Deathly Hallows, that we would see Tonks and Remus' wedding. Just because we haven't really seen much of that Weasleys. And that it'd be kind of random.
I know, I'm still disappointed we don't get to meet Charlotte.
Is Floor even in six? I don't think she is, right?
I don't think she was cast,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, she's not in the movie. No.
You know, I can...
Oh, the actress.
It was terrible. I can kind of see them cutting the wedding from
Yeah,
Silence.
I can too. But they...
I'd love to see it, but that's more from a fan, like, just a desire to see it. I can't see it serving fulcral importance in the 17th.
Well...
You know, it was interesting.
Well,
it would be interesting if it was, because think about any other time in a Harry Potter movie, we've had a long period of time, a long scene, without Dan Radcliffe in it.
Well, that's another reason why they might not do it. That'd be so confusing for people.
Well, cast some random redhead dude that no one's ever seen before.
I could see, if they were going to do that scene, I could see them doing it with an invisibility cloak. And so you can see him under it, rather than if they were going to do that. But like you said, I think there is just doesn't make sense to translate into a film.
What do we
do
without Dan?
Is, you know, him being under Polly.
Barney.
Dan.
I did too.
But
they're
I really wanted to see Luna at the wedding.
Well, I mean, they might have to make some excuse for some gathering so that there can be
right, yeah, they'll have to be.
And the
film
industry can break, you know, so they can have...
Yeah.
They can do
Harry's birthday and they have fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. They could be out having s'mores or something in the Weasley backyard and
as they do every night.
Chilling.
Mm-hmm.
Hang out.
Weenie roast.
Out of what?
Making s'mores out of
fire
snakes.
What are these fire snakes? I really want to see these things.
I think it's a fire snake that happened at the end of the fifth movie with the Voldemort.
Yeah, but those are really intense. What are they?
Frack, I thought you were a Moochka.
Yeah.
Well, at least we know how to defeat them, though, because we saw Dumbledore do it.
What? Okay.
Magic.
You got it. That'll teach them.
Should we move along? Actually, magic. Talk about the movie now that we're
control.
I was gonna swing a rake at it, but magic will probably work better.
Yes.
That probably is a good segue to move over to.
All right. What else happened? What else did we talk about in last week's show? I mean, Devin was hilarious about Seamus and how he's like the stupidest wizard ever.
I love that.
He'd blow things up.
Really funny.
I love it. I know a lot of people are like, well, why don't they read all the books? And guys, they're actors, you know? And I like, Gambin is different because he is pivotal in all these movies. But I can understand Natalia Tena, like, only reading for her character, you know? Because she doesn't need all that. So, you know, they take it, they're actors. They don't take it as seriously as we do. And that's fine. As long as they do a good job, I don't care, you know?
Yeah, I don't think it...
Yeah, didn't she... She read the... After she read the fifth one, she read the sixth one on her own accord.
Yeah, now she's all into it. Now she's all upset, you know. And that seems to be the common story.
Yeah, yeah. And there's nothing... Like, me, I didn't start reading the books until after I saw the third movie.
I just love how they said that at least with the theme park, at least they have jobs forever. If they're out of work, they can just ask to go work for the theme park for the rest of their lives.
Permanent face characters.
That's fantastic.
Did you ask Hugh about Colin, you know, about Colin Grevy? Jeff, about being emo and all that kind of stuff? Remember how we had talked about it before? I just thought it was kind of funny that we got to interview him.
Well, it's so funny because we didn't find out that he was going to be there until like the day before or something. So it was so hilarious because we've talked about Hugh Mitchell here about his music and stuff. And it was just kind of this funny random, ex-Harry Potter cast member, you know. Here's his fun band's MySpace, and then all of a sudden we were sitting on a stage with him, and it was just completely bizarre.
Yeah.
What does he look like? His voice is deep.
Maybe a little bit.
He looks like a Hanson brother.
Yeah.
Which Hanson
like
brother?
Long hair, stringy.
Well,
which one?
I don't think they look like girls and horses. Come on, that wasn't an insult.
Sorry. I apologize. I grew up on Mbop. I was 15 when that came out.
Actually, their later music is actually pretty good.
Anyway.
I admit it. I am a Hanson fan, everybody. I am. Their later music is actually pretty excellent.
Wow.
Check them out.
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
But so that must have been cool, though, to talk to him. I'm like, because we miss you, Colin. We miss you.
It was bizarre. I was like...
I was all nervous.
You were nervous. It was so cute, because you weren't nervous at all around J.K. Rowling, but around four actors from the film.
No, see, I'll tell this to anybody. See, I know J.K. Rowling gets it, and she gets us, and she gets the obsession, and there's no feeling embarrassed about anything in front of J.K. Rowling. And then like I said, it's hard to come up with questions for them, because you don't want to geek out too much, because they don't know what you're talking about, necessarily. So then it just gets to a general interviewee interviewing subject, which is not where I've ever been good at. So I don't know. It was difficult for me.
Well, I loved when somebody asked them about anime, and they were like, "What's that?" You know, it was cute. Yeah. It was like a reminder that they're not the geek level that we are. You know.
So. I think that's actually the one question that got cut out of the show.
Oh well, there you go, guys.
Oh, secrets revealed. There we go.
There was one other question, right?
There was one other question. Oh, I want to say it. It's
no,
funny.
We're not going to talk about it here. We're moving on right now.
Do it.
The people there will know.
Right.
Anyway. All right.
Yes,
can we go on?
Talk about Phoenix Files and other stuff.
All right. Let's.
Operate on over.
Let's finish
to
up
the
Phoenix Files.
Up.
She will be there when we get there.
Who's Melissa?
Phoenix Files. So guess what, guys? There's way too much Phoenix Files
more
to
content.
Do that we thought we were going to do this week. So we get Phoenix Files from the fireworks up until the little line that Luna gives. We fly, of course.
We fly, of course.
And then go off to the minister.
Well, let's see how far we get. Because we got less far than we expected to last week, last time. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's start plowing through it. Fireworks.
Hey,
bam.
Harry's,
fireworks.
Harry's
bam.
All fainted.
Harry faints.
Now we have Sirius. Bam. He's seeing Sirius in the ministry. So Harry starts falling and seeing Sirius at the 97th row thing.
Harry has a sugar loaf.
Yeah, he does have a sugar loaf.
And Hermione's all, look, Harry.
They give him some candy.
And they start running.
Big plan.
But now we have the famous, don't you have a famous saving people thing? She didn't say that in the movie. She only says that in the book. In the movie, she says, like, what if it's a trick?
Well, for this reason, rightfully so.
They're all doubting Harry, as per usual.
Hermione, the voice of reason yet again.
Could have doubted him more.
They don't always doubt Harry. Only when he says that Snape's the mean person of everything.
But now, Aunt, tell me this. If they did not go to the ministry, if Harry decided to say, well, maybe it's just a vision, and looked at Hermione, would they have had this battle?
Nope.
Would Voldemort have been exposed at that moment?
Nope.
Would Fudge have had his reign terminated and replaced?
Yeah, but also Sirius would be alive.
Whoa!
Well, you exchange this.
John Noe!
Email alert.
I'll tell you right now.
And we will help them.
Watch out.
On you.
Hey, I love canon Sirius. I don't have much sentiment to movie Sirius.
Movie Sirius was on Friends.
What does it care? What do you care? The difference.
I think he's been doing it well. I don't know. Whatever.
Anyway, so they get into Umbridge's office, and I just love the.
I love those cats. I'm sorry.
Prowling around their frame.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Does anybody else think that one cat that ran out the little door is the same little kitten on her brooch? That's what I think.
Yes.
Ooh.
That makes sense that she went to go tell her.
But
how would she communicate it?
A little cat meow.
A little cat butt.
Well, I mean, come on now, think of it. That cat is probably like Mrs. Norris. Mrs. Norris talks to Filch, and she rats out all the kids all the time, so, you know.
Well, I mean, but speaking of photos, I mean, creepily, we also have a photo of Cornelius Fudge on the desk.
Yes.
You know, you don't know who's watching you in the
world.
Because
the photos there,
but I don't think they travel
they're that person
do.
Captioned in the moment.
Portraits. No. Right. It's not like they can go to all their photos.
But I think the clear intention behind them walking in and that cat leaving was very clear that a cat was informing Umbridge.
Well, I'm looking at her brooch right now, and I don't think she's wearing it, to be honest. Hang on.
Well, whether or not it's the brooch, I think that the cat was informing Umbridge that they were in her office. How else would she have known? And why show the shot of the cat leaving the picture?
I don't know. The cat was annoyed. As
cats are curious.
Oh, cats are curious.
Oh, now you're a cat lover.
I'm a cat expert.
You need to get a cat.
For having sure. never owned any cats, I can tell you.
I just want to know why they sit there into the herd, but they stop to change their clothes.
Does that sound figured? It's magic.
Does that strike anybody else as weird?
No, I noticed that too, but I just figured that was
so ridiculous.
Continuity error, so they just didn't think that people would know.
Like,
you know?
We can't waste a minute, but I want to look
it's
good.
So
for
Hollywood,
so let's
it's because the kids at Hogwarts are too concerned with Hollywood and their Hollywood blogs and Lindsay Lohan and whatnot. So they have.
Yeah.
Well, sure, they're into it. They're into the front of their mirrors and everything else.
Oh, stop. Okay.
Now, why couldn't, like, if I was in the Wizarding World, I'd have one outfit, and every day I would scourgify it and then transfigure it into something
smell,
different.
Would you smell, though? Would it be clean?
Yeah, but then it might change. It might change. It depends on how good of a magician you are, and then a wizard you are, and then it might change at an inopportune moment. So, like, you're on, like, a date, and you're wearing a nice suit, and it might change into your underwear. That's not good.
Well, I would start it out as a nice suit, and then transfigure it.
So why would you get a nice
start
suit transfigured
like
into something else? Dobby's going to get worn
out. Or whatever the hell it is. It doesn't get
worn out.
You're wearing
this
the
whole magically.
All those robes you hear all the time about. No, you hear about things wearing out all the time. You know, like Ramus's robes are always tattered. And
yeah, because the magic manipulates the matter. It doesn't make the matter, like, go away or reappear unless you banish it or conjure it.
We say with authority.
You understand that I would be a much better wizard than these people you're speaking of. So.
Oh, okay, Dumbledore. What happens next in the scene?
What happens next? Don't they get okay? They're in there and they try to use the fireplace, and they're all like, "No, Harry, we're all in this together, and we're all."
When are you gonna get it? We're going together. We're in this together,
yeah.
And then Dumbledore's just like, yes, you are. Dun, dun, dun.
Yes, you are. You all getting group detention spankings. And she brings in her Slytherin posse to punish them.
No, she's, well, the Slytherin posse has now caught everybody.
Right, all, yeah, like,
that's right, yeah.
And who comes in but our friend?
Severus Snape.
Argus Filch.
Snape!
No, John. John, have you watched
I know.
He did a great job.
I love Snape.
He's
in
awesome.
The scene.
Yeah, me too.
He's perfect, quintessential Alan Rickman. What is that line? Says which would boys in him it would matter to me or something like that. I don't know. It's funny.
Yeah.
You would have my greatest sympathy or something.
Yeah.
You know, unless you want to poison him, which you'd have my greatest sympathy or whatever.
Yeah. I also like how he was the one to.
Yeah, that was nice. Because it was that was a nice way of just kind of.
Which was nice.
Yeah.
Giving that without being like, hey, Cho didn't really da-da-da.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Harry go, oh, man, I should have listened to her. I'm a jerk.
I know. He blew it. He blew his chance. So Umbridge is going off the deep end, as we expect her to, from having read the book years prior. And she's going to use the Cruciatus Curse. And doesn't she, like, put the little fudge picture frame, like, face down? Or
he can't see it. And Hermione, like,
which is
out,
hilarious.
You know? But she's not. I'm watching. She's not wearing
her
fudge pin at all.
Yeah, isn't? Maybe it's in her pocket.
So
she took it off.
He's got Padfoot at the place where it's hidden.
Yeah, which is clever.
Which, you know, Snape did go and inform the Order right away.
He did. But see,
you don't realize that
when you're watching the movie that was Snape that actually does that when they show up later on, do you? I mean, they never make that clear.
No, they never do that whole. Yeah, they never do that download of, like, here are all the answers the way they do, you know, elsewhere. The girl with the black hair in the back, I guess that's a stand-in pansy until they have the new one a bit.
Is that a stand-in pansy?
Well, I guess it would be like a Pansy Parkinson character, but they don't really have a pansy, you know?
Right.
Jamie's holding Emma.
Didn't they recast her again?
They did. There's a new one. Mm-hmm.
Have we seen photos?
We have, like, an actor photo.
Yes.
Right?
Her name is Scarlett Byrne.
What color hair does she have?
Black.
Mm.
But it's long. She's got long hair.
Yes. So, anyways, so Umbridge is, like, protecting Fudge from seeing Cruciatus. Like, oh, she's got a ring on.
I think that cat can go to any piece of wood jewelry.
That would be clever.
All right, so Hermione does her big, famous, stupid lie and gets them into trouble.
The lie about, let's go to the forest?
Yeah. The secret weapon. The weapon.
The big weapon.
Yeah.
And you know what it was? It was love.
The greatest weapon is love.
Okay, Harry and the Potters.
Sorry, I love that song. It's one of my favorites. Sorry.
Yeah.
All right. So they go tromping through the forest.
Off into the forest. I love going into the forest. You never know what you're going to find.
Can I just talk about
in this case,
Imelda Staunton in this scene?
Yes. So good.
She's awesome. She got to be like the you know, cranky Umbridge. What are you taking me in here for? Paranoid Umbridge, scared Umbridge. And then when the Centaurs show up, she's all like, I'm authoritative, ignorant Umbridge, and I'm gonna call you filthy half breeds and see what it gets me. And they got her plenty of comeuppance.
Well, it's just she's like such a great comedic actress, and it's never more apparent. In this scene, like, her body language is amazing.
Totally.
Excuse me, I am Undersecretary Umbridge. Just as if that's
how did she not take, like, an arrow to the face?
Yeah.
Yeah, how do they miss her? They're centaurs. I mean, come on.
They're pretty good shots, you'd think.
I wish they'd clarified the centaur lore and their, yeah, like, laws about not damaging foals, as they called them, you know? You know, the centaurs in Narnia, I have to say, were better than the ones in Harry Potter.
Yeah, I agree.
Sadly, there's a lot of things in Narnia that are really good.
And it's not that we're down on the movies. We love. I love these movies.
Absolutely.
I watch them. It's just that, you know, can't be fair unless we're critical of certain things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the... Because they were distinct from each other in Narnia. That's what I liked about them.
Yeah.
Well, say it again?
They were more distinct from each other. Each
because
individual
in Harry Potter, they're
Narnia
computer,
they
yeah?
In here, in Harry Potter.
Yeah, I think that's where your problem lies, because I've always been a big fan when you mingle the CG and the practical. I think it just works better.
I mean, I think there is some, like, modeling and stuff like that, but it's not, I mean, it's not as much. They were more individual characters and more, I think, believable as a herd.
No.
Which is a shame, but, you know, but that, did you, let me ask you this, we're talking about Umbridge, you know, and her body language, do you think, because those shouts bounce off her or didn't get hit, did you think she's that powerful that she exudes so much evil power that just kind of, like, helped? Because I didn't see her do any, like, shield charms, right? I mean, she didn't.
She did a quick, like, Protego, like, that kind of,
okay,
that kind of invisible shield, briefly.
Well, they were going after Grop, weren't they? They weren't going after her, because they were going to...
But it doesn't make any sense why they went after Grop.
That's true.
I don't know.
I'm not a big fan of Grop. I know, and choking the one centaur with the rope, that was pretty crazy.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. I know, that's what I'm saying.
No.
I know. I'm like,
those were Umbridge's rope.
Yeah.
The, like, incarcerous or whatever.
Yeah.
So attack Grop is to, like, be helping Umbridge, so what the hell?
Well, maybe they were just trying to assume that, like, the two are natural enemies or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, because he's a giant, you know?
Well, because they already established that he ripped up the trees, and they were upset with Hagrid already.
Yeah.
Well, that's the book.
Yeah. Although, admittedly, it's a lot easier for a CG character to fire a CG arrow at another CG character than it is to have that same arrow try to hit
that
a live
true.
Actor.
That's a very good point.
And then,
that's very
honestly,
difficult.
The arrows weren't even... How many arrows did they
Excellent
fire?
Totally not worth it.
Because they didn't need that. Like, the whole point for the arrows being fired in the book was to get the Thestrals over here with the blood. So in the movie, technically, they didn't really need to. So maybe that's why they didn't spend much time on it. It was just a reaction, rather, than... Because, you know, in the book, that played a role.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's
Well, the centaurs aren't going to be, like, fist fighting or anything.
Yeah, because it is weird why they carried her off and they could have just
awesome.
Killed her there. But I guess this is a children's book and children's movie, so
yeah,
the lighter end of things. Well, ish.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. All right, so they run off onto the bridge and they meet up with their
Wait, friends. Before we get there, can I just say this? In the theater, that every time when Dan Radcliffe would say, or Harry would say, I must not tell lies, the entire audience applauded, you know, or laughed with
him. Yeah. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Well, it's great,
I'm
too.
I'm sorry,
it's
Professor,
from
I must
the book,
not tell
too,
lies.
It's nice when they,
Brilliant.
When they can... The screenwriter. No. I mean, it's a nice way, like, it's a line from the book. I must not tell lies that they put in a nice, you know, it's a nice adaptation.
Right.
I mean,
I like it. Nice little recall moment. You know?
Well, Harry is a
little
BA.
A little Hollywood, a little badass,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but
it's
but
a little better than.
Yeah, but
wow,
we love
Professor
him, though.
Professor Lupin's really having a bad night.
What?
Is it a similar kind of quip to his?
Yeah.
When Lupin's running around.
Yeah, and he says, Professor Lupin's having a bad night. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Like, okay. LOL, Harry.
So anyway. They go on to the bridge, which actually is a really short bridge with a picture behind it. Yeah. It's really funny. It makes me laugh. And they meet up with the group, and Hermione is shocked that Ron had a plan that worked.
You have a brain? That's amazing. Oh, I was just in love with your muscles.
Ron, just not even going to go there.
Anyway.
They all get pissy. Yeah. Like, come on. But Neville, like, stands up. He's like, what, was it words? You know?
Yeah.
Did she say... You don't want us to come?
Did Ginny say anything about Bat Bogey Hex?
No, it was the puking pestles.
Oh, okay.
No, I think it was the puking pestles. But isn't there something?
I really need to draw the Bat Bogey Hex, because in my head it looks...
Oh, please do. That would be the coolest thing, because, I mean, I want to ask Joe, what exactly is that hex?
I think it's transfiguring your boogers into bats.
Pestles. Wait, hold on one second.
My son would love that. You know, that's why kids love that spell. I think it's hysterical, you know?
Oh, no, there's nothing about that fucking
hexes. Oh, boo.
You should, because that's her signature spell, man, you know?
Yeah.
Totally. You should have that.
So then it's We Fly, of course.
Oh, Luna.
Yay, Ivana! Yay, Luna! We love you. She does that so perfectly. Her little face, they zoom right in on her, you know?
Yeah.
So cool.
I'm sad they didn't let her do side
battle. Yeah,
yeah.
That would have been fun. Yeah, now, did they show, I wish they would have shown more of, like, the other ones being all freaked out that they're flying on nothing, because that was such a cool concept in the books, but they didn't really address it too much.
Yeah, all of a sudden everybody could see the Thestrals. It's weird.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, there was not an issue there.
It's kind of a confusing thing to explain briefly in a movie.
But then why explain it really at all? Because it's for them to have that scene, you can only see them if you've seen death. Now they're basically saying that all these people have seen death.
Yeah.
That's true.
Doesn't really quite jibe.
Whatever. Whatever, it's fine. It doesn't become a big issue later, you know? So. Wonder how long it took to get from Scotland to London.
Well, don't they say they're very fast and good with directions?
True.
And, like, magically fast, because that's like a 10-hour train trip.
That would be... Oh, God. You know, that would be kind of boring.
For 6 hours.
You're just up in front of the... I mean, how high do they travel off the ground? Are they above the clouds, below the clouds?
It looked like they were right in the middle.
That's right, because in the book, she describes it as they're, like, frozen when they get to London. They're cold and, you know, it's kind of chilly. Yeah, I don't think they go above the clouds too much.
My Thestral would go above the clouds.
It's kind of hard to breathe, I guess.
Just kidding.
Oh, well, it's your...
Would I be able to see a Thestral? I don't think I'd be able to see... Would you guys be able to see a Thestral?
Oh.
Yeah, I would. I would.
Seen someone die.
I have to know death or have to have seen someone die?
No, you have to have seen somebody die, or I would imagine it's really close. You know, I would.
That's a very serious question. I'm sorry to make it up so casually.
Yeah.
That's okay.
We're sad. Okay, so...
That's about as far as we're getting, because after this, we're in the ministry.
That is correct. So, okay, ministry. We're up to the ministry next week, in fact.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Sweet.
And that's when we have Jason Isaacs next week. Woohoo! Saying.
Who likes Jason Isaacs?
All right.
Bye,
guys.
And now it's time for Canon Conundrums. Listen in as our panel tries to figure out one specific issue from the Harry Potter canon.
Who could possibly figure that out?
It's time for Canon Conundrums.
So what?
I don't even know what this is going to be, because this isn't about much of canon we have yet at all. It's about possible future canon and the prequel that Joe has written for this charity thingy-majigger.
Now, I heard that it involves Sirius, James, and a policeman?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Who said a policeman?
It's,
I read that somewhere.
Okay, this is the thing. Joe wrote an 800-word card for a charity auction, and in it, it's going to feature... It's supposed to be a closely revealed secret, but the manager, Waterstones, told the Guardian newspaper that it's going to involve James Potter and Sirius Black, and Joe said on her website that it takes place 3 years before Harry was born, and that there involves a policeman.
Now, are they in school? This is the question.
No, because Harry was born... In 80,
mm-hmm.
So that means this took place in 77?
But they were like 21 when they graduated, when Harry was born or something.
Right.
Like the timeline seems to suggest that. So were they 17 or 18? Had they graduated or not? You know?
Oh, I would imagine they had graduated.
I guess.
For some reason.
I guess.
For some reason, I assume. Because if he weren't graduated, why wouldn't the whole all the Marauders be there? This is after...
Well, remember,
the movie after the betrayal.
Well, yeah. Well, maybe she just couldn't have all of them in there. I mean, because she only had 800 words so that she could fit on that note card. So
yeah, and I think she would want to be freed from the constriction of the school where they have to go along a certain schedule, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
You know?
Right. Besides, what would a muggle... The word was policeman.
Right.
And, you know, there's not too many wizard policemen. They would be muggles. So...
Well, they call them... It wouldn't be a wizard because, remember, Arthur calls them policemen?
Oh, right, right. That's true.
So if it's a policeman,
right.
It's got to be a muggle.
Yeah.
So it's basically Sirius and James just getting into trouble, is this 800 words. Oh,
that's
I'm excited.
I'm anticipating. It's just something silly fun, and then they're going to, like, confund the cop or something.
But the war is going on
right.
at this point.
Exactly right. Exactly right, Melissa.
The war
is
on. Full bloom.
So maybe it won't be a light story.
Well,
you know?
I don't know. Maybe it's like a break. It's sort of like Joe writing her own fan fiction.
I love that description. That's a good way to say it. That's funny.
I mean, I know she can't, she technically cannot write fanfiction, but it is like those little, like, stolen moments that fanfic writers are just, like, they just love to write,
yeah.
You know? And it's like that, and I would love to see how much of it she's written in general, you know? God, I just want to just dive into her notes.
Oh, you can imagine, what it would just be, because that's why I wanted to just print it. She doesn't need to rewrite anything, just print those volumes of notebooks that we've seen, you know? I mean, just, you know, that you've seen in news reports that are just boxes of them. I just want it all.
I would volunteer to help type good typos.
Are you?
I never make any typos.
That one finger type. Dip, 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 dip. You can spell Dalish.
And I have perfect spelling. I wonder how good her handwriting is when she's writing in those things, though.
I'd imagine after Beetle the Bard, her handwriting's pretty good.
Well, she did all this before Beetle the Bard.
She was?
She didn't?
All of her old notebooks? Are you talking about
the notebooks?
I think her writing's pretty good. I mean, if you go into her website and you do, like, the games or the puzzles, figure them out, you get, like, a reward. And a lot of times you'll get the original piece from, like, her original drawings or a page, like, where she lists stuff. It's legible. You certainly can read it, so.
Probably picked the pages probably had the best handwriting.
Well, that's true.
Yeah,
I doubt she's that vain.
Well, you were having computer issues. We were saying that it has to be, like, basically that the war is on at this time, 3 years in, 3 years before Harry was born. But that the manager of Waterstone said that it has to do with James Sirius and a policeman, which has to be a muggle because Arthur calls them please men, so it's not a wizarding. Unless it is a wizarding policeman and the Waterstone's manager is just...
Maybe he didn't know what a horror was.
Right,
maybe
doesn't know what a horror is.
Law enforcement.
So do you think it's, like, light? Light going to be like light fare, or will be kind of a deeper exploration?
I mean, she just said that she sat down and the words started flowing from her pen very easily.
I really like how she said that, like an addict.
Yeah.
Like an addict.
And everyone is like, we'll feed your addiction, Joe. Come on, give it to us. We'll give you more.
I know. We're all
enabling. Yes, we are.
Every single one of us. We'll just keep pushing.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, but it's true.
It's terrible.
From the nature of it, just because it's a short story, I would think it would lean more towards just the lighthearted, like, whimsy side of it.
I agree. It'd be fun to see them just kind of horsing around.
It's like a little day in their life.
Okay, say it is serious, though. Say it is during the war. It's a wartime scene, you know? I mean, we don't know. Maybe if it's just those two, say, hey, we're going to hook up. Maybe it's when they decide to go meet with Dumbledore and fight. I don't know. Who knows?
I could see them going out, like, for, like, you know, lunch or something, just talking about, you know, just getting caught up on things. It's like, hey, how's Lily doing? Or, hey, or what's going on with Remus, Sirius? Are you guys together? Or, you know, just going on about just random things.
No, John. You thought I was going to ignore that.
You know, things are just having a light chat.
Yeah, they're sitting talking about their grocery lists, and,
the potion list.
Here's how the war is going.
What if? Can you imagine if she outs somebody in this 800-word thing?
No, it's going to be like I think it'll be like a little adventure between the two of them, like a little like scene between friends, which, you know, frankly, we have never gotten of them. Oh, it's going to be amazing.
I know.
Just randomly just having fun doing things. Totally. What if they have like a party, like a wizard party?
Oh, they got busted. For breaking the noise laws or something.
Okay, so there's a policeman. So what do you think's going on? Like, what, are they stealing something? Are they trying to just pull a prank?
I'd imagine them pulling a prank and then knowing they can get away with it.
And they got busted.
You think Lily will make an appearance?
You think they confund us, the police officer?
I don't know. Would you guys do Confundus if you were a wizard and you got caught? Would you guys actually do that spell? Heck yes.
Yeah.
no hesitation there. Heck yeah.
I think it depends on what I was doing.
Well, I mean, if it's not something serious, we're just kind of like pulling a prank. Like that's, you know, nobody's hurt, nobody's, you know, if you're just pulling a prank and it's no big deal, I would.
Do you think that there's a toilet papering spell for, like, if you want to TP houses when you're a wizard?
I'm sure. Yeah, if anybody comes up with it, it's serious.
I want Joe to invent that because that needs to be in the list of spells.
I admit I've toilet papered when I was my youth too, so that would be a pretty handy spell to have.
You did not.
I know I'm ashamed, but it's true. I had the little Slytherin moments every now and then, and it was fun.
I'm very embarrassed to say that I have never been a part of a TPing adventure, and I hope to rectify that this summer as I travel through Georgia.
So this is going to be called James Potter. Places. James Potter and the toilet papering adventure.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
James Potter and the toilet papering.
Do they toilet paper in England, or is it like, you know, they're conserving resources and not wasting?
They bidet over there.
I don't know.
If you live in England and you've ever toilet papered somebody,
Can we really talk about what we think this is going to be about?
Okay. I honestly think it's probably just going to be them kind of like going into mogul culture and having to handle themselves.
But I'm just so glad that Joe is willing to dive into that era, that she has this all planned out, you know, and that she knows enough about that era that we've all speculated about, you know, and...
Yeah, well, let's see.
Yeah, that she knows so much about the characters that it's not, you know, taxing. She said it just kind of flew out of her. It wasn't like she sat down and planned this. This is just something like, you know, this is who these people are.
Yeah, these people are real to her, you know?
Well, just think.
She could sit down and think about James, and then she could figure out the story just from concentrating a little bit. And be like, oh, well, of course James did that with Sirius 3 years ago. Well, you know, they went to grab lunch, and some guy was hitting on, or well, some girl was hitting on Sirius. And,
well, here's a question: is it canon?
Yeah.
Yes, it's canon.
Anything out of her pen is canon.
That's what I think.
But that's my out of her. But a lot of people view that canon is what's published.
Ah.
And so I had a discussion with some friends a couple months ago. It's like, no, canon's what's published.
Published by Joe or published by anybody?
Published in the books and the series. Like, canon does not exist outside the series.
So well, but like, here, like some of her notes, I'm sure, contradict each other. Yeah. You know, and I'm sure there are drafts. And, you know, it's not as though it came out as an unblemished plan. So I would say that what's in the books is published and then is canon. And then whatever she, like, adds to it, like, for instance, it gives extra information on her website or this piece, which she says is accepted Harry Potter material. I wouldn't say that everything in her notes is canon because some of it got deleted and contradicted and, you know?
Yeah.
Ooh, endless, I'm logical.
Supplemental canon.
I love when your snarky side comes out.
That makes a lot of sense, though, because I would have argued against that, you know, 10 minutes ago. But now you're like,
it's funny.
That's fine.
I'm logical. Thank you, Frack.
Oh.
So you have a little bit of Ravenclaw in you, Melissa.
I think I have a lot.
See, because I had wanted them to, like, go someplace. Like, I would be neat, like, okay, they're out house hunting. They're looking at Godric's Hollow, and they cause trouble or something, you know? I wanted her to tie it in somehow to the events in Deathly Hallows a little bit more, so it gave a little bit more, I don't know. Or maybe, you know, they're out when the tree is planted or something. I don't know. But the policeman kind of throws it for a loop.
Or there's like nods to things that we see in the Whomping Willow. Oh, or there's like nods to things that we see in the book. You know, like
that'd be a lot of fun if there's some sort of reference.
Little thing.
Or like that'd be funny if he went to go pick on the Dursley.
Oh, because it was Lily's relatives and he wanted to pick on Lily's relatives. That'd be hilarious. Yeah.
Very funny. That'd be right. That'd be awesome.
Have we at least established what year that would make them? If there's still in Hogwarts? Have they graduated?
Well, they might be. They're either in last year or they've just graduated. Because they're about 21. Snape is 40 or 41 at the time of Goblet of Fire, she said in an interview. Which would mean that would make... Oh, God, I can't do math. Goblet of Fire, Harry is like 15. So he was So they were like 25?
Wait, Goblet of Fire, Harry was 14, so that was 94.
So it's 17 years previous, so they're like 22. So maybe, I guess yeah, they are graduating.
I think it's, but it's right before, she says 3 years before he was born, so it just had to been post-graduation, though, too, a little bit, you know? Say, oh,
yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I don't know where these other numbers are coming from, but I always thought that they had Harry just a few years out of school.
Yeah, I don't know where I got that number either, but I'm having like a memory of that, but I think that there might be just contradictory.
Yeah, I think that's one of the fuzzy areas that we don't have really quite.
Oh, hell, we all thought Dumbledore was 150 years old until Deathly Hallows came out.
And hit the 112 or something, or 118.
Right.
Or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Masks are not Joe's strong point. We know that. And she said that, so.
She says it, so yeah. And we don't, you know.
But it's fine, though. As long as, you know, but we know it's 3 years before, so at least that's kind of something. But so, but then the war is going on, so.
What if, like, there's, like, this huge, like, anvil dropped in this card? Like, something like, we find out that Professor McGonagall was, like, evil.
She's not evil.
No. Like,
she won't do that in 800
take
words.
It back.
Come on.
Do you think there's anything...
John.
Okay, I take that particular one back.
Do you think there's anything
she could say that could make us rethink a character for the rest of the novel?
That would be setting up writing a prequel or writing more, and she specifically said she's not doing that.
I know, but it'd be just fun to mess with us, though, a little bit.
It would not be fun to mess with us
on purpose,
if,
like, and get the, you know, millions of people in the
board. What if we found out that, like, what if in those 800 words, like, we find out Sirius bewitches some cat, or no, some person, and turns him into a cat, and then that person turns into, is actually Mrs. Norris all along.
That would be cool. That would be a neat thing to learn. Yeah.
But that'd be like explaining something. That's not opening something up. She wouldn't open something up if she didn't intend to close it.
I just missed something that would make us rethink somebody. Like, Mrs. Norris, if she was a muggle that Sirius bewitched by accident, never told anybody, and then brought him to Filch and be like, hey, have a cat. And he's like, oh, thanks, Sirius. And,
have a cat.
I don't really know what manners are for gifting cats, but perhaps it's acceptable over there.
Cats choose the owner. It's like the wand.
Oh, come on, man.
They do.
They sit there in a cage and look cute and hope someone takes them.
Nope.
I think Crookshanks deliberately chose Hermione.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
She jumped on her?
I mean, she's...
Okay, well, that's a Kneasel we're talking about.
Hey, he's half cat.
So, and Bella, my cat is... I'm very close to my Bella.
Yeah.
It's meant to be.
Yeah.
I've had Sassy for 11 or 17, 16
years. I don't know.
Sean wanted to transfigure a cat into Mrs. Norris.
Okay, people. But, all right, I just... What do you think? I think that's all we can bleed out of
this. But, well, no, June 11th, it'll be online. We'll see it. It'll be there. Woohoo! Can't wait.
Yeah.
I want everybody's predictions in now.
June 11th is my brother's birthday.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. FYI. Sorry.
Hi, brother.
Okay.
Hey, brother.
Hey, brother.
Anyway.
Bye, guys.
Good card talk. Later, guys.
The drums. Yay.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. I have to start the drums with a bit of sad news for me, anyway.
Aww.
And completely off Potter topic. But I just found out from our friend Matt Britton, who was trying to get a job at Disneyland today, that they are already at capacity of employees for the whole summer.
Whoa.
Which is a bummer, because I wanted to work there. And that makes me sad. So, I don't know where to work now. So, if anybody has any fun ideas for summer jobs...
There's always the Disney store at the mall.
Yeah, I need a fun summer job.
In L.A., because you gotta go move to L.A. like everybody in the world.
Yep, I got it. I'm moving to California, so anybody in Southern California, or even better yet, and there's a small chance in the world anybody works at Disneyland in a position to get me a job. That'd be swell. But I'm very doubtful of that. But I might as well throw it out there, because we've had good luck in the past. Yeah. So, anyway.
I say Starbucks.
That's on my list. Starbucks and Chipotle. Chipotle.
Don't work at Chipotle, John.
You will gain 600 pounds.
You will. You'll eat so bad.
It will ruin the magic.
Yeah.
I know.
It'd be so unhealthy by the end of the summer.
I was thinking, like, what would be more funny, for me to work at Chipotle or at a competitor's burrito place?
No.
Well, at least they're competitors. You wouldn't eat the merchandise.
Right.
Yeah, this is true. Though I will say this for Qdoba. They have a rewards program where every 10 burritos you get a free one. Chipotle, they don't have one. This is disappointing to me. Because Qdoba makes a very close burrito to Chipotle because they copied the ingredients and the recipe almost to a T.
Mm.
But don't even get me started. Anyway, there's bound to be other on-topic things we could be talking about.
Well, I think you should work at a Starbucks and use all, when I come to visit, use all your free Starbucks on me.
Do you get free Starbucks when you work there?
Yeah, you can. Down here
you
in Southern California.
I think you get like one or two.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. You get free drinks when you're on the clock, and you get a pound of coffee each week for free.
Dang.
And you get a discount.
When I just,
man, I should work at Starbucks.
Even when I didn't need to work at Starbucks, I still worked there one day a week for 3 months because I had to wean myself off of the awesome discount.
That's amazing.
And free coffee.
A pound of coffee a week is great. You can't go through a pound of coffee in a week.
Oh,
I just registered my Starbucks card online, so now I get free syrups and free milks.
Woo.
But I'm totally a new coffee drinker. This is like so new for me.
I know, because you...
But I finally went from just fraps to lattes and fraps to now I drink the iced coffee.
See, I told you, Frappuccino is a gateway drug into coffee.
It did the trick.
So we have a fun story from this week.
You do?
Well, let's hear it.
John has a kayak.
Oh, are we telling it on Pottercast now? Okay, let's do it.
You? What are you talking about? You were always talking about telling it on the drums. Now you're all surprised.
Nor talking about John's, you know, kayak stories. Brilliant. All right.
No, it's brilliant because John says to us, we have this kayak. It fits two people. Mm-hmm. I've put three people on it before. It will be fine with four. We'll do it. We'll be fine. We're like, are you sure? Yeah, we're fine. We'll be fine. I'm 100% sure. I'm confident we'll be fine. Shouts us all down. Okay. His sister, Anna, is like, yeah, you guys are crazy. Whatever. Have fun. And she's like, I'm staying here. See you later. So me and John and Bree and Rita get in the kayak. And things are going fine. We're at least floating upright.
Started out fine.
About halfway out, John realizes that there's a plug in the middle of the boat that he didn't remember to close before
which
we
did.
It's a hollow thing, so now the boat is filling up with water. Outside of making us sink, okay, so in the middle, it is a 2 mile row to this sandbar that we're going through.
We did not know it was this far. I thought it was maybe at most a mile.
2 miles.
It was 2 miles.
I did a Google thing. So.
Yeah.
So. Now we're, like, sinking, okay?
Yeah.
And so, when you're sinking, it is also easier to tip, because it requires less of a motion to either side to make you tip.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
So then, you know, sure enough, we get right to the center, there's, like, a buoy, and somebody shifts their weight just a smidge. And then all of a sudden I hear John going, here we go. Everybody, boom, right in the water, okay? So we're laughing we're laughing so hard. And of course we're stupid that we don't leave until 5, so or it was like 5:30 that so we figured we'd be back before sunset, which is like 8, right?
Yeah.
So, and thank God right before we left we put the cameras back on the deck. Okay.
We almost brought all of our cameras in a Ziploc bag just in case they got splashed.
We're not gonna tip. Okay.
Yeah.
So then we all clamber back into the boat in the middle of the bay, and it's the ocean at this point. And John stays in the back and starts pushing in the back while I and Bree are rowing. Okay. So we finally.
Rita's up there calling stroke.
Yeah, she's calling like right and left. Okay, cause we're like the worst college crew team you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
So we almost turned back about 6 times, but we had made it so far. We're like, all right, let's just make it there. We'll make it there. We'll be able to get out, turn the boat over, get rid of the water, close up the hole. We'll be fine, you know. We get there, and Mister, I've been to the sandbar so many times. Brought us to the wrong place. A. B, we get to this place, you can't stand. As soon as you put your foot down, you sink to your knee.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, see, we went to the wrong part of the island.
There's no sand, like,
what
there's nothing to stand on.
And then somebody told Locke to move the island.
And when you do stand up, okay, you fall in and there's like shells or maybe perhaps like crabs underneath that are like scratching your legs, and it's It's terrifying. There's
yeah, those are where the scratchy crabs lived. We found their habitat.
Well, you never know what's burrowed in there. So
yeah.
So we're all freaking out. We turn the boat over, empty out the water, plug up the hole, and at least now we have less water in it, so we're going to try and make it back. John, so basically we've been rowing for an hour and a half. I've been rowing for an hour and a half. John's been pushing for 45 minutes. Bree's been rowing for 45 minutes. And so we get back in, and we're like, all right, if we don't get back in another hour, the sun's going to go down. We're going to be pitch black in the middle of the ocean.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Because we didn't bring any life jackets either, because we're smart. So,
no life jackets, no phone, no whistle, no light, no anything.
Oh, my God.
Tell anybody where
so
we are.
Smart. So we get back in, and John and I start fighting about physics, because I'm telling him that there's no... Because he's maintaining that we are in more danger of sinking right now than we were otherwise, which cannot possibly be true unless there's a new hole in the boat, because we've emptied out the water and plugged up the hole, so only if that hollow fills up with water would we sink. We might tip still, absolutely, because we can't maintain our balance, you know? But
here's the part that I must have never gotten across to, is those plastic plugs in the center of the boat that generally are above the water most of the time and can stop water from being splashed into it. We're submerged under a few inches of water that we still could not get out of the boat.
But here's the part that
you... plugs were not meant to keep water from out from inside of it when the water's sitting on it.
But here's the part that you are failing to grasp. If we made it to the middle without sinking, with four people in the boat and an open plug, and we turned it over, plugged up the plug, had only three people in the boat, and were floating, we were not in more danger of sinking than before. With less weight and less holes, it is physically impossible to be in more danger of sinking.
The gradual taking in of water is all. And the longer we were out there, the more it would take in.
Not when you get...
It wasn't...
No, John. Listen to me, John. If we had been straight in the water all that time, yeah, the gradual would make sense. But when you get to something, you turn the boat over, you have less water in it, you've plugged up a hole, and you have less weight in the boat, it's like starting from zero again. We would have had to be out for more than we were before for the gradual effect to have been more. So there's absolutely no logical way we were in more danger of sinking. Regardless, John was in the back pushing, and finally I'm like, just get in the boat. Bree got out, and she's pushing. It's just a calamity in all respects. So
just terrified of the ocean.
It was terrified of the ocean. There's stingrays on the bottom. So finally, we just give up. We all fall in again, and we put up our oar. And of course, it was like something out of like Gilligan's Island. Mr. Most Hot Sailor Ever comes by.
Oh,
that's him. We called him Captain Hot, and he was just, like, gleaming teeth, tan, you know, musty, the whole thing. And, of course, John just pretends he doesn't exist, but the girls and I were
quite happy. I didn't even notice what he looked like. I was all concerned about getting back
to
the
house. You didn't notice us all being bowled over by
the guy's
look.
Who was he? Was he a random sailor? Was he a Coast Guard? What?
Get this! He's the guy that made John's pool!
No!
What?
Yeah. No way!
He's a damn pool builder, of all people.
It saved your butt.
The pool digger is the best.
And the funny part was I told my family this story, and they're like, oh, yeah, the hot pool guy. And I'm like, oh, you guy.
So,
this was years ago, and they still remember
him. Did you guys at least get pictures with him?
He's that hot. I got one.
No, did they get pictures of him?
It's on Facebook.
So did he give you guys a tow, or what happened? How did you guys...
We pulled us into the boats, and then he tied the boat to his boat and towed us over, and we got home okay.
The S.S. Pottercast almost sank out there in the Keys.
Seriously.
That is just too hysterical. Oh, my God.
If we had not gotten towed in, it would have been dark before, you know?
Ew.
So, yeah.
I think
it was a nightmare.
Very bad.
Never again.
That great sailing adventure.
And then the kicker. We say to John... Why were you so sure that four people could have done this? Oh, I asked my mom, and she thought it'd be fine. Not Mr. I'm personally sure.
The kayak has
moms have a lot of
seats
authority.
For three people. There is a seat in the middle of
no,
the $2 for
a that's
third.
Not a seat. That's a cheat somebody onto a seat. That's not a seat. There are actual physical seats, and there are only two of them.
Well, there's two paddle seats, and then there's a seat in the center.
No, that's something that you're calling a seat that's not actually a seat.
I promise you it's a third seat.
Okay.
There's not a fourth seat, for sure. absolutely not a fourth.
It's a third non-seat.
I really wanted to see you in the sinking sand barge trying to dump that boat.
I mean, you can just imagine. Don and I are fighting about physics in the middle of the ocean. Like,
Melissa was calling out my gray card here in the middle of the ocean. Was it high school physics or college physics?
Because I'm so excited. I'm like, how much 10 years of physics have you taken that you can understand this? So he's like, two. First of all, I call BS. You took 1 year of physics in high school.
I took a year in high school and a year in college.
You did not.
I did. It was required. Any GED requires.
Didn't. Mine wasn't required.
Well, it was for me.
Penn State maybe did.
But that's too hysterical. I took pre-med physics. Back to the intense. It doesn't even take physics. It takes
common sense. It's just pure logic is what
that is. Well, Sue, me and you need to go get in a predicament.
I think so, Frank. Yeah. We're missing the boat. Get a bump. Oh, my God. I just can't see you guys doing that. So what we're saying is that kayak races in the future are definitely out. This is what we're the lesson of the story is.
Yeah. Well, unless we have proper amount of people on a boat.
Well, if that tournament at that conference that time was kayaking, we would have lost. You remember when you guys won the water Quidditch? If it was like podcast canoe, forget it.
Podcast. Hey, I went to when we went hiking a couple weeks ago. We got a rowboat and I figured out how to row.
I love water sports. I love to sail and to row and kayak and that.
I have to say, Sue, I really enjoyed the rowing part. I rowed the whole time, like an hour and a half straight. We took little breaks, obviously, because it was really hard. But I really enjoyed that part.
Really good.
Was it one oar, like that?
Yeah.
Or was it two?
One oar.
Oh, cool. I did two oars.
And then the current was turning us around, so we couldn't stay on a straight course. So, like, John would have to put his oar in the water, and one of us would have to turn, like, paddle to turn it around. It was just...
And the tide was not coming in then or anything. You didn't have that work in the kitchen, though.
No, it was low tide.
I mean...
Never again.
I just can't even believe... You all are just something in the six.
That's funny.
Well, thank God you're safe, though. I mean, we're laughing, but thank God you're safe. We did that still.
Well, another 15 minutes and it would have been pitch black outside. You know?
You would have put up red sparks in the air for Hagrid to come save you.
We had nothing. We had nothing to do
that. That would have been helpful.
We would have had a swim.
I don't think Hagrid would have seen otherwise.
Anyway.
Otherwise, fun time. TechPodcast.com for the... Make a Man Out of You video, which was the theme of the trip.
John, what's happening with the acting troupe?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. We have our script doing real well. We're going to have some callback scripts for the people who will be calling back, which will be by the time this show airs on podcast.com within a day or so, based off your votes and based off of the votes of the podcast for here, plus our writers. Megan Joe. Not that Joe, but another English Joe. And we will also be getting in contact with so many of you volunteers to be the crew, including people. We've had volunteers to do the music for the show and other miscellaneous sound and stuff. Still looking for some additional help for editing the show, which is important. I'll put some details on the site about that, though. Otherwise, we're going to run it for 6 episodes this season. If the season goes well, we will consider a second season, but it will be a 6-episode run. And hopefully, once we get recording with everybody and we get the first episode out, we should have the episodes come out within 3 weeks of each other. And it should be awesome. And I think that's as much of an update as I got.
Very cool. Can I say one personal thing? And I think this is from all of us. Our dear witchy helper, Miss Chloe, is graduating from high school this weekend. Yes.
Yeah.
Yay,
yes,
Chloe.
Yay to all the graduates. And I think Super Alex, is he graduating too? Or I don't know. But people are...
He is, and he is at prom tonight.
Oh, Alex at prom. Oh, Alex. And
get the U-ball.
Yeah, and Chloe was in New York this week helping at Scholastic. You know that?
Ooh, I heard about that.
Yeah, she did a little internship there for a week. It was great.
Go, Chloe, go.
With Cheryl, with the lovely divine Miss Cheryl, Miss C.
Hi, Cheryl.
It was lovely. Hot Cheryl.
I would love to do an internship with Hot Cheryl.
I bet you would.
What? That would be fun. I wouldn't get on her nerves at
Arthur
all.
Arthur would kill you.
If Cheryl needs anything, it's me to help her edit her spelling. I would love to see you play her in Scrabble.
She would mop the floor
with you. Ooh, Scrabble.
I can make up some good words.
Yeah, basically, when the first time I asked if she wanted to play a game, she basically, we weren't that good friends yet, and she just said, I don't think our relationship is ready for that. That's how good she is, that it intimidates friends. So she waits a while before being ready to play Scrabble. I guess she's so good at it. But
that's really funny.
Yeah.
Hey,
I'm not going to be here next week.
Where are you going?
What? I am taking my first non-Harry-related vacation in about 5 years. Me and dolphins and no computer and
we're playing spy on Melissa, aren't we?
No. Nobody's spying on me on the beach. Thank you very much.
Where are you going?
To the Bahamas.
Ooh, a fine stuff.
For a couple days. Basically, this grew out of, like, a couple days before my deadline, I called my mother up briefly and to talk about, like, something about my sister's wedding shower. And I started hysterical crying out of nowhere. It was like one of those things where if you look down and your shoelace is untied, you just start crying because you're so stressed out.
Oh, I had one of those a couple weeks ago.
Basically, my parents were like, you, my dear, are going on vacation when your book is in. I don't want to hear it. So I took the leap, and I'm going to go veg for a couple days, finally.
That's great.
For a long time. So.
Melissa?
If anybody would like to audition for the role of Melissa next week, email us at staff@podcast.com. You must have an annoying cat.
Melissa?
And you must get on my nerves talking about kayak stories.
Stu is saying something.
Okay, let's hear it, Stu.
I just want to say, Melissa, please no water.
No way.
If you go...
Unless you know there is a hot seat in your shot.
That's true. And then go for it. There you go.
You know, girls out there, if you're looking for a man and you need a way to get introduced, take a kayak out nearby, somewhere like that where lots of men are fishing and boating about, and that's not a bad way to meet somebody. But bring a life jacket just in case.
How about we not advise what people do at home?
Oh.
Right. Better dating tips than that, but, I guess...
Podcast is not responsible for drowned people or boating vehicles.
That's not funny.
Thank you, Frank. All right, I think it's time we hightailed it out of here.
I think it's time. Do we have to start twiddling those dials?
I think we need
I didn't do my French word.
Oh, yes, do your word.
You guys have to help me with this. Because I wanted to find out what interfering trout was in French, and that was what Doge said that Rita Skeeter was. She was an interfering trout, which I thought was one of the best lines in the entire series. And
I don't know what it means.
Trout? Why would we call somebody a trout?
Because
they're like swimming
funny
upstream or something, or is that a salmon?
Because she's like a... It sounds funny. That's it.
Oh, I get it. It's funny.
All right, so it's basically, I'm going to massacre this so badly. It's treat fouinous.
Treat fouinous.
TRUITEFOUINEUSE. Frenchy people. That's what it is in the book.
Treat fouinous.
Treat fouinous. Bad.
Fouinous. I can't say it. I took 3 years of high school.
I like these words.
It's a nosy trout. I love it. Perfect.
Okay.
Now let's twiddle dials.
Till next time, guys, keep twiddling those dials.
The next password will be prequel.
Keep each other safe.
Keep safe. Good night.
Strawberries. Free.
Oh, and about time, too.
We've missed it.
I confess myself disappointed.
Now, if you two don't mind, I'm going to bed.
Great, Scott. No wonder. Look at the time. We've been here nearly 4 hours. Spooky how the time flies when one's having fun.
我会改变。